The Brunel Mile and the City Docks. Chapter 1. Introducing the walk. Welcome to the Brunel Mile and the City Docks. This walk follows the Brunel Mile from Brunel's GWR station at Temple Meads, then runs along the dockside to his SS Great Britain, with the option of extending this onto Underfall Yard and the Brunel Lock and Swing Bridge. Allow at least 2 hours to complete the whole walk, not including time for visiting attractions or stopping for refreshments along the route. The Brunel Mile, as far as it presently extends, runs between Temple Meads train station and the recently created Millennium Square. 2006 marked the 200th anniversary of the birth of Isambard Kingdom Brunel, one of the most versatile, audacious and inspirational engineers of the 19th century. As well as building the Great Western Railway and designing the Clifton Suspension Bridge, Brunel was involved in 2 major shipbuilding enterprises in Bristol that transformed ocean-going travel. Working for the Great Western Steamship Company, he designed and constructed the SS Great Western and, even more significantly, the SS Great Britain. Less well known is that between 1832 and 1848, he was engaged as consulting engineer for the Bristol Docks Company, working on a number of projects, the most important being to devise an effective means of dealing with the recurrent problem of silting in the harbour and the design of the south entrance lock. The SS Great Britain is a familiar city landmark and popular visitor destination, but there are also substantial remains of Brunel's dockworks that can still be viewed today, as this walk reveals. This walk is compiled in conjunction with the Bristol Legible City System. References to BLC and the map location will therefore be given for your reference. Chapter 2. Temple Meads and Redcliffe Way. The walk begins at Brunel's GWR station, now called Bristol Temple Meads. The building to your right as you come out of the station was completed in 1841 and is thought to be the first true railway terminus, with trains and people all inhabiting the same integrated space beneath a single roof. Designed by Brunel, it has an impressive 3-story entrance in Bath stone in a hybrid revival style reminiscent of a Tudor mansion. The booking hall was at ground level, and passengers reached the platforms by climbing an internal staircase to the first floor, the track coming in 15 feet above ground level on brick vaults. A beautiful hammer-beam roof spans the 72 feet of what was once the passenger shed and is now used for conferences and exhibitions. The beams are largely decorative, as most of the roof's weight is actually supported by the iron columns along the aisles. One wing of the station façade was removed in 1878 to make room for an approach road. The building ceased to be used as a rail terminus in 1965 and is now home to the British Empire and Commonwealth Museum. There are guided tours of the site that include access to the passenger shed, the cavernous vaults, and the mock Gothic grandeur of the GWR boardroom. On the opposite side of the station approach road are some Jacobean-style offices originally built for the Bristol and Exeter Railway and designed by S.C. Fripp. This was completed in 1852. Work on the present Bristol Temple Meads station began in 1865 and was completed in 1878. This was conceived as a joint station to serve the Bristol and Exeter and Midland Railway companies. Its architect was Brunel's colleague Sir Matthew Digby Wyatt, who had co-designed Paddington Station. The arched iron roof was designed by Francis Fox, whose father Sir Charles Fox had constructed the roof at Paddington and was also involved in construction of the Crystal Palace. The station has a neo-Gothic exterior in pink stone with Bath stone dressings and a red brick interior. The chocolate and brown extension to the east of the site dates from the 1930s. At the bottom of the station approach road, cross Temple Gate at the pedestrian crossing directly outside the museum to the Express by Holiday Inn Hotel opposite. Turn right and follow the road round to your left along Redcliffe Way. Crossing to the other side of the road, using the pedestrian crossing, continue walking along Redcliffe Way. Opposite the hotel is Chatterton House, where the boy poet Thomas Chatterton was born in 1752. Unfortunately, nothing now remains from Chatterton's time. He left Bristol for London in April 1770, allegedly disappointed with his lack of recognition at home, and died shortly afterwards of arsenic poisoning. His early tragic end has led to the romantic legend of the boy genius destroyed by a Philistine world, a legend enhanced by Henry Wallace's famous portrait of the penniless young man lying dead in his London garret. Continue up Redcliffe Way towards the large landscaped traffic roundabout and cross the road at the pedestrian crossing to view the beautiful St. Mary Redcliffe Church, BLC map reference N7. Queen Elizabeth I, on a visit to Bristol in 1574, is said to have declared this to be the fairest, goodliest, and most famous parish church in England. It is a sublime example of the decorated period of church architecture, although parts of the church date back to the 12th century. The Cannings, a Bristol mercantile family, were among the most high profile of the church's early patrons, paying for major building projects in the 14th and 15th centuries. The Cannings Society, founded in 1848 to raise funds for essential restoration work, is still active on the church's behalf, having been revived in 1928. Restoration was carried out in the 19th century under the direction of George Goodwin, when the imposing spire, truncated after being struck by lightning in 1446, was extended to its full height of 292 feet in 1872. Chapter 3. Queen Square and Millennium Square. From the church, cross the bottom of Redcliffe Hill and walk past the Quakers' burial ground to Redcliffe Bridge. As you approach the bridge, to your left, you will see Redcliffe Wharf, where the 1997 reconstruction of the Matthew was built, the wooden craft used by explorer John Cabot on his voyage to Newfoundland in 1497. Cross the bridge and enter Queen Square, BLC map reference M6. This elegant square, the largest outside London, was named in honour of Queen Anne when she visited the city in 1702 and was home to some of Bristol's wealthiest merchants. In 1831, the square was also at the centre of the Bristol riots, which stemmed from discontent at the corruption of city officials and the defeat of the Reform Bill. Brunel visited the city the day after the riots started, to supervise work on the Clifton Suspension Bridge, and as the situation worsened, was sworn in as a special constable to stop looting. Armed with a chair leg, it is said that he actually arrested a man, but was tricked into handing him over to another rioter disguised as a constable. Many buildings were burnt to the ground during the rioting, and business confidence in the city plummeted, leading to delays in the construction of Brunel's bridge. Although the destroyed buildings were gradually replaced, the square failed to recover its former prestige, and during the 1940s suffered the indignity of having a dual carriageway built across it. In the 1990s, Bristol City Council initiated plans to renovate the square, removing the dual carriageway, restoring gravel paths, digging up tarmac to reveal the original sets beneath, and planting mature saplings to fill gaps between the trees. The official reopening of the square took place in September 2000, and it is once again one of the most attractive public spaces in the city. The equestrian statue in the centre is by Riesbrach, and is of King William III in the guise of a Roman emperor. Take time to walk around the square, then exit from the opposite end of the same side you entered by along Royal Oak Lane. This leads to Prince Street and beyond to Fars Lane and Perrow's Bridge. This bridge was designed by Ailis O'Connell and opened in 1999. The centre of the bridge can be raised for water traffic by means of hydraulic rams, with the large horn-shaped protrusions acting as a counterbalance. The bridge is named after a young slave who came to Bristol around 1783, died in 1798, and was owned by the Bristol merchant John Pinney. Bristol was once a thriving commercial port, one of the biggest and busiest in England. But by the late 20th century, the bustling docksides had fallen into disrepair as maritime trade moved to larger and more convenient facilities. In recent years, the waterfront area has been regenerated with a variety of restaurants, bars, cafes and nightclubs, which are particularly busy in the evening. To your right, you will see the Watershed Media Centre, which is housed in two converted Victorian warehouses, BLC map, reference K5. Watershed has cinemas, exhibition spaces, a bar and cafe, and is a popular venue for conferences, festivals, workshops, and other special events. From the end of the bridge, you will enter Anchor Square, where you will find the At Bristol complex. Explore at Bristol, at the far side of the square, was converted from a reinforced concrete railway goods shed, the first ever building of its kind. It is one of Britain's major science centres and houses a comprehensive series of interactive exhibits designed to inspire and promote interest in science and science education. Walking to the left of Explore will bring you into Millennium Square, where you will find the impressive sphere-shaped planetarium. Look out for the statues of Cary Grant, William Tyndall, and Thomas Chatterton. The square is particularly lively on sunny days, with children turning William Pye's water sculpture Aquarina into an unofficial paddling pool. Once you have enjoyed the square, walk down the left-hand side of it to bring you back to the waterfront. Turn right into the amphitheatre, which is set inside the broad crescent of the Lloyd's TSB offices. This area is used for open-air concerts and is a focal point for shoreside entertainment during the annual Bristol Harbour Festival. The stone structure at the water's edge is the base of a late 18th century crane. An extensive building programme is currently taking place on what will eventually be the official end of the Brunel Mile, so from the amphitheatre turn back towards Perrow's Bridge, where you can take the dockside walk to Brunel's SS Great Britain and beyond. Chapter 4. The Dockside. Recross Perrow's Bridge, turn right and walk along the cobbled narrow quay, passing the Bristol Youth Hostel and the stylish Architecture Centre to reach Arnolfini, BLC map reference K6. The building was originally called Bush House and was built in the early 1830s for the iron founders Ackermans for warehousing and administration. As part of the regeneration of Harbourside, it was converted in 1975 to create the Arnolfini Arts Centre, with exhibition space, a restaurant, a cinema performance space, a bookshop and offices, and has recently undergone a further major refurbishment and expansion. Outside Arnolfini sits the statue of John Cabot, the Genoese explorer, merchant, navigator and cartographer, who set out from Bristol in search of the Far East. Cabot's ships were fitted out by Bristol merchants, including Robert Thorne, founder of Bristol Grammar School, and were manned by Bristol seamen who already had experience of venturing across the Atlantic in pursuit of fishing grounds. By travelling west, Cabot came not to the Orient, but to Newfoundland. From the statue, walk along the quay to Prince Street Swing Bridge and cross to the former Bristol Industrial Museum building on Prince's Wharf. This will shortly undergo a full restoration to house the new Museum of Bristol, reopening in 2009. Out on the wharf, you can see travelling electric cranes built by the Bath Company Stothert and Pitt. The Fairburn steam crane, a steam railway, two tugs and a fireboat, all in working order and brought to life on summer weekends. About halfway along is the site where Brunel's oak-hulled paddle steamer, the SS Great Western, was launched from Paterson's shipyard in 1837. The Great Western had a successful career as a transatlantic liner and was later purchased by the Royal Mail Steam Packet Company, operating out of Southampton on the West Indies run. Bristol has a long shipbuilding tradition, producing a variety of ocean-going and coastal vessels. You may have heard the term shipshape and Bristol fashion. This refers to Bristol's reputation for building ships that were strong and seaworthy, and the need to stow everything well to withstand the difficult conditions created by Bristol's unusually high tidal range, in which the water level can drop as much as 12 metres at low tide. Continue your walk along the waterfront. Prince's Wharf becomes Wapping Wharf as you pass the steam crane. The crane was completed in August 1878 and is capable of lifting 35 tons. Prior to it being built, there had been no crane in the docks capable of lifting more than around 3 tons, a serious commercial disadvantage when Bristol was hoping to attract vessels with heavy loads. You will be walking parallel to the dockside steam railway, where during the summer months, the locomotives Henbury and Porthbury pull carriage loads of weekend visitors between the museum and the SS Great Britain. As you head in the direction of the SS Great Britain, you will see on the left The Point, a triangular complex of modern apartment blocks completed in 2001. Over to the right, on the other side of the water, you have a view of the top of Cabot's Tower. The tower was completed in 1898 to commemorate the 400th anniversary of Cabot's voyage. The tower was designed by William Venn Goff, who took his inspiration from a tower in the Loire Valley in France, dating from the time of Cabot's journey. Chapter 5. SS Great Britain and Beyond. Brunel's SS Great Britain, launched in 1843 at Bristol's Great Western Dockyard, where she now lies, set new standards in engineering, reliability, speed and ocean-going comfort. She was the first iron-hulled, screw-propelled steamship to cross the Atlantic. Between 1852 and 1876, she made 32 voyages to Australia and is thought to have transported the forebears of around 250,000 modern-day Australians. She was finally sold and moored for many years in the Falkland Islands, where she was used for storage. This caused serious deterioration in her structure. In 1970, however, she was returned to Bristol in an epic salvage operation and has been undergoing extensive conservation work since 2001. In 2005, construction of an innovative glass sea was completed at the ship's waterline. This provides the roof to an airtight chamber to prevent any further corrosion of her hull. Visitors to the ship, in addition to enjoying the dockyard museum and exploring the ship's cabins and decks, can also descend beneath the sea for a close-up view of the hull and screw propeller. The Matthew is also moored at the SS Great Britain when in Bristol, and can be incorporated into a visit to Brunel's ship. From the SS Great Britain, retrace your steps and turn right in front of the red-bricked Maritime Heritage Centre, BLC map reference F7, and walk up Gas Ferry Road. You will soon reach, on your left, the offices of the award-winning animation company Aardman, creators of Wallace and Gromit. On the right, on the corner of a currently derelict Victorian malt house, you will see a footpath. Don't be put off by the slightly run-down surroundings. This path will quickly bring you out to the waterfront again. Walk along the path towards Bristol Marina. Turn left to walk alongside the marina's metal fence, following the sign to the marina office, then turn right at the corner of the fence. The path will lead you down to the boats, water sports, sculptures and residential developments of Baltic Wharf. Continue along the waterfront path towards Underfall Yard. Pause outside Cottage Inn and look across the harbour up to the terraces of Clifton and the Lee Woods Tower of Brunel Suspension Bridge. Chapter 6. Underfall Yard and the Cumberland Basin. Walk on to Underfall Yard, which has close associations with Brunel and the development of the Bristol Docks, BLC map reference 7D. In the early 19th century, the engineer William Jessop was engaged by the Bristol Dock Company to create a non-tidal floating harbour to combat continuing problems with ships being grounded at low tide. With his system, which was completed in 1809, water was trapped behind lock gates so ships could remain floating at all times. Part of the project included building a dam at Underfall Yard with a weir to allow surplus water to flow into the new cut. This was a diversion of the river that bypassed the floating harbour and joined the original course of the river near Temple Meads. Brunel was called in at a later stage to deal with problems of silting. Among the measures he introduced were the replacement of the dam with sluices that controlled the flow of water through the floating harbour and allowed dredged mud to be washed away. These were rebuilt during the 1880s and are still in nearly daily use today. A Brunel-designed dragboat for scraping mud away from the sides of the harbour remained in operation until the early 1960s. An information board at the entrance to the yard provides further details, and you can see where the sluices are housed just beyond this point. Most of the buildings and engineering installations you see were constructed between 1880 and 1890 under the direction of John Ward Girdlestone. Walk through to the other side of the yard, taking care as you go, as this is a working area. At the gate is another information board, this time giving details of the engine house. This operates the Cumberland Basin pumping station locks and the 1858 hauling up slipway, which was recently restored to full working order. Turn left on leaving the yard to walk up to the road. Turn right and walk to the end of the road. Ahead you will see a car park. Cross carefully by the traffic islands, walk across the car park and turn left along the waterside footpath near a large anchor. You are now walking along one side of the Cumberland Basin, heading towards the Plimsoll Bridge, BLC map reference B7. Once a month, the basin is drained, which can be a dramatic sight. Walk under the left-hand arch of the bridge, around the spiral staircase and onto a grey tubular girder bridge. Pause at the middle and turn right to look across the water. You are standing on a replica bridge crossing Brunel's now disused 1838 south entrance lock. Behind you are the tidal waters of the Avon Gorge. Cross to the man-made island, turn left and walk out to the furthest point for a view of the Clifton Suspension Bridge. Turn round and walk back across the island, this time keeping to the left-hand side, walking along one edge of the 1873 Howard Lock, which is still in operation. On the other side of the water is the area of Hotwells, a place that once attempted to rival Bath with its spa facilities, and which was also an area for shipbuilding. Continue towards the Plimsoll Bridge, this time aiming for the other arch. You will walk past Brunel's original hand-powered tubular swing bridge, currently set upon the quayside, an innovative design that later inspired his triumphant Royal Albert Bridge at Salt Ash. Walk under the Plimsoll Bridge and return to the path across the concrete bridge to your right and walk back towards Underfall Yard. The large red brick structures you will see to your right are former tobacco warehouses, one of which has been converted to house the Bristol Record Office and the Create Centre. That is the end of the walk. You can now either retrace your steps, perhaps breaking the journey by picking up the Cross Harbour Ferry at the SS Great Britain if you've not previously taken this route, or catch either the Bristol Ferryboat Company's Hotwell service from the Nova Scotia or the Cottage stops, which will take you to the top of St Augustine's Reach in the city centre, or the Temple Meads ferry service from the SS Great Britain, which will take you to Temple Quay near to the train station. We hope you have enjoyed exploring Brunel's Bristol and the city docks. If you have enjoyed this walk and would like to do another one, or if you would like further visitor information on Bristol, log on to www.visitbristol.co.uk.